But it also makes the assumption that all of them are gonna show up. Being pre-registered, something could happen, somebody could move, somebody could make a different decision.
But this one way includes the kids that were interviewed?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
That Trish and Alan, with 94 people, maybe 97 people in the ninth grade, how many would you ideally like to have in the ninth grade?
I'd say 130.
Really?
Yes, so this doesn't include any of the 58 or whatever number of people there.
And the reason I say 130 is because that allows for attrition.
So you have a full class?
So by the time you graduate.
No, Joe, this is just, we haven't, registration, everyone hasn't registered yet. So these numbers are confirmed, people who have actually either signed an intent to return or registered.
Or registered, yeah.
So that ninth grade number will go up as people that we've offered the 24 spots to already, as they accept, and then we continue ticking down the list if they say no. Or other kids decide, if they said they were staying and they decide not to.
Because we'll have a few kids that say they're staying, that they won't stay. I mean, they're hedging their bets is what they are.
Right.
I think we'll get.
So our senior class will be 76 if this number sticks, as compared to 58 that would be graduating this June. So we continue to go up 38, 58.
And then the next year's class is gonna be closer to 100.
What's the junior class this year?
I thought it was 78.
Okay.
But maybe two left, no.
Junior class, that's my kids.
Yeah.
So you're saying that, oh, right, 76 next year, yeah.
We'll have a couple of you.
Okay.
But just, the school is in good shape in terms of the enrollment and the potential for enrollment. I mean, it's where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be the unit count? I know we don't know a lot of special ed and CTE factors, but do you know what the unit count would be?
We won't know until after, the first one will be April 1st. The first unit count's April 1st, and that's just to show that you have at least 80% enrollment. If you don't, they can close you down, well, we're fine. And then the next one is May 1st, and that determines your funding for July through February. And then September 1, September 30, right, determines your final funding.
Rule of thumb is 20 students is a unit, right?
Yeah. But what's not taken into account here is A, special ed, and B, CTE.
And right? We'll know special ed before September 30th, but we don't want to know CTE anymore until the kids are enrolled in those courses.
That's the board member we do.
Okay, do we have to vote on that?
No.
Okay, good.
So the biggest part of our meeting, I believe, was on the update of the budget. That's two pages. It's a stapled page that you held up first, Joe. Two pages stapled together. And then the cover sheet, which says fiscal FY18 projected revenues. That's one of them.
I don't think we had enough copies of everything, but it doesn't matter.
No, I brought 15. I thought I brought 15.
We can share for the time being. If somebody needs
double sheet. No, we have that.
Don't worry. If you have a double sheet, don't worry about me. I can.
Thank
you. Did you bring them separately?
Yeah,
they're in the box.
I brought
them. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was
okay.
Cool until almost two.
Okay.
Got a lot done. It's great. The double sheet stapled are the numbers behind the top one. And anticipation that you all would approve Joe's recommendation, the salary numbers are included in here. So that $27,000 in salaries are included in the salary line, and the OECs of $8,000 are included in the other employment costs. So what basically happened is I looked at our current year-to-date expenditures, which on the pages that are stapled together is the center column. It says actual year-to-date actual expenditures as of 2/28/18. And I knew at that point we should be at about 66%. So I adjusted figures to the left to get the numbers in the percentage column close to 66-67%, unless they were things I knew we weren't going to be spending more in, like technology. So I was able to bring the technology number down from, which is on page two, from 99 to 90,000. And then knowing we had three payrolls coming up, I tried to keep the salary numbers and the OEC numbers lower than 66%, because this month, March, is a three payday month. So we'll be hit three times for everything except health insurance. We only pay health insurance twice a month. So we all get a little extra money on that third paycheck. In some cases where I'm anticipating additional expenses, I also try to keep it low. For example, in travel, I want to see if we can get some more people out to training for MYP. So some of those expenses may be paid ahead of time, before June 30th, even though the training may not happen until July. We have one more bus payment. So in the busing line, which is on page two, I have the number at 58% because I want to prepay our last bus payment before the end of this fiscal year, because we have some surplus money this year. All that being said, if you look at the bottom of the second staple page, we still have a contingency for this year at this time anticipated of $158,000. With prepaying the bus payment, prepaying some travel expenses and registration fees for MYP.
And the salary increase.
And the salary increase.
That's nice work, Alan. Mm-hmm. That is a nice position to be in.
So this is what I'm asking that we vote on as our final budget for the year.
Which is that second line, the updated projection?
Yes.
So you see our move that we accept the final budget.
One more thing, with the caveat that I think the comp committee might be coming forward with more recommendations. That might impact this, right?
In that budget is included the salary for the two new positions that we are looking for, the psychologists and the...
No, this is just for the remainder of this
year. This is the updated budget for this year.
It's the current school year. The way I think we should do the bonus pool is if we make $158,000 more than we spent for the year, some portion of that, 60% every year, so it can be 200, it can be 100, it can be nothing, is the bonus pool. And then that gets divided. So it's not an expense that shows up here until we actually pay it out. Then it flips up to the whoever got the bonuses.
Right.
It may be heartache for you, Alan, but I don't think I don't want to budget an amount. I want to budget because it gives us a reason to try to save money where we can. Because every dollar that a teacher saves by not doing something goes in the bonus pool. That's good.
The conversation yesterday was for this year to set aside an amount, but for years forward, set up what you're talking about. Because there's some time that's going to be needed to put together that plan for how those are going to be awarded.
Yeah. So
I think we'll go ahead.
I'm sorry. So again, this is kind of cart before the horse on this discussion, but from a planning perspective, it would be nice if that was on a one-year lag, meaning that the following year's budget is based on the current year's contingency and what was put aside. So that when you prepare the next year's budget, you can have a certain amount that you've reserved in your cash, and that becomes the pool. Otherwise, you have an unknown amount from year to year.
What Steve was saying is that the first year that ends up being zero, you lose a lot of people psychologically. Like they feel like they've worked for this bonus, and oh, now even though it's not a certain thing, it feels certain, and then they feel like it was taken away.
Especially if the bonus is not on the P&L and it's on something else.
It sounds like a profit sharing model.
Sort of.
Yeah. Which I'm not sure that.
But it's not. It doesn't go to everybody. It's selective. No. This is a merit based bonus pool, not that everybody gets a little bit. Everybody's happy. Nobody's pissed off at us. I kind of like people pissed off, but they didn't. You know my personality. I'd love to go there. You get a damn thing.
But again, it was well intended. It wasn't to save money. It was to ensure that there were dollars there so that the opportunity didn't evaporate the following year.
But I don't, you know, if the following year we have a reason why the budget is flat, we have no money.
It's not sticking.
That's a perfectly valid position to be in, as far as I'm concerned. I think the bonuses should be paid at the end of the school year when we have a very good handle on it's going to be 158 or 159,000.
Right.
And it's June 15th, and the only thing that he doesn't have is the month of June, he'd be now. Then I think the board at the May meeting says, okay, our little formula is 60% of our surplus, that's $96,000. The administration has to figure out how they want to allocate that to the teachers who really busted their hump. I like that idea more than I like this lag. We've been killed by the lag. It's what Kate and Lupin does to us every year.
Okay.
Oh, we'll give you what we paid, what we got last year.
Right.
So it's a different situation, but I think it's a good discipline to say our results of this year determine our bonuses, not how hard we worked last year.
Right.
Can you put a line item in there?
It's just like a black box.
Contingency,
you know,
times
from a bonus
perspective, and then throw that into.
I think the visibility is limited, and the incentive that you provide people is extremely variable as a result. And I think it's nice if you could deliver on the promise and by just putting it into a restricted, if you will, type of reserve from year to year. This way you can carry it forward in the next budget. And if there's nothing that next year, you have time to line people up around that and say, hey, there was nothing in the coffers coming into the end of, you know, this year. So if there's any residual that we put aside and restricted in the past, we'd still have that if we didn't spend it all. But an incentive that has the potential to evaporate or come about from year to year, my gut is that doesn't work if it evaporates and you lose people in that manner.
And what are you going to do the year after? If we lost money this year, we're flat this year.
Yeah.
What are you going to do next year?
Well, you explain that's how we fund this thing.
And I'm a new teacher. I'm a brand new teacher. I wasn't here last year.
Right.
So you're punishing me for last year's guy you fired in order to hire me. Think about it.
Yeah.
You need to line it up with the work the people in that school that year did. You can't. The lag is, it will create some problems for you.
What if you don't have anything at the end of the year?
That should be known this time of the year, is that it doesn't look like this is going to be a bonus year.
Can it be a real-time number that is known throughout the year? People know and visually see where it is and how what it is? Or
I guess if they look online, because we put this stuff online, right?
Well, I think that's part of the issue is that I could be wrong, but my sense is that the staff is not at all connected to what our numbers
right.
are.
Money is, right.
Nor are they incentivized by it in bonus, right?
But
it's not connected.
If it's something visual and people can see it, and it's a number, I've found that in our workplace that I've put up screens all over the place showing all kinds of data now, and it changes behavior on an instant.
Right, but to that point, though, happens if the money's gone and you see it, well, I'm not going to get a bonus, so.
Right.
I mean, it can have the opposite effect.
I would.
Hopefully it wouldn't, but it could.
Yeah, I mean.
I think it's a lot more tolerable when you have goals that you're working towards, or a bonus that you're working toward, that you know that there's going to be a reward associated. It's a lot easier going into a year saying, hey, that it's not happening this year, it evaporated because we didn't achieve our financial goals, or we didn't deliver something in excess of our budget to the bottom line. That message is a lot easier than having people go throughout the whole year working toward what is a potential bonus, and then potentially there's not something there, to me.
But if the science teacher needs a carbon dioxide probe, and the neighbor teacher, social studies, say, don't buy that, or else it's going to...
Yeah, it can create perverse incentives,
too,
I think.
Well, that's pretty backwards.
They're not selling anything.
But that's where the money goes.
What professional is going to do that?
I'm not saying they would say it out loud, but...
Right.
We
need to vote on what is affecting this budget for this year. The whole issue of the bonus pool is a vote and a conversation for another day when we have more, something more specific fleshed out that we can present.
Right.
So that's my feeling. I think we need to make a decision. And what are you proposing? You're proposing, we are proposing a specific dollar amount for bonuses to be paid out this year. So that will be a specific amount, and then...
I think it's a separate vote.
Yeah.
It is a separate vote, but it's related because... Well, what happens if the budget's wrong for that amount, right? And we overspend on our final budget. What happens?
So you just put in your second vote pending, so that there's a surplus.
So there's no ramification of us missing the budget by 60% of the contingency that's in it. From an evaluation perspective.
Yeah, pending.
Pending this decision.
Pending the budget
that's
or the year finishing with the bonus, we think.
The way of describing it is the percentage of the reserve amount at the end of the year is bonuses.
Yeah.
It can be 100, it can be 50, it can
right.
be 10. But 60% of our success as a school at operating within our revenue estimates goes to the teachers in the form of a bonus. And as you know, I feel strongly that it shouldn't go to every teacher. It should go to the teachers that Trish and Alan or Eric and Alan figure out and down and say, these are the teachers who have gone way beyond the business plan that they gave us in the year. Whatever, they took on more responsibility. They're a team leader and they've done a much better job than the last time Steve team leader. Something that distinguishes them. Because if it's a bonus for everybody, it loses its impact. You really want people to know that the board values you and there will be bonuses in addition to the salary bump. And we'll try to keep salaries in line with people better than we have recently, apparently. I think it's the right incentive system in a school like ours where we expect a lot from our teachers and for the most part we get a lot from our teachers. And that's the decision that you all have to make as administrators as to what's right.
Actually, along those lines, Trish sent us two articles on pay for performance, and they were very good articles, so I made everybody copy so you could see where we were thinking or where we were.
Just leave them up there so we can pick them up later.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, Steve, I agree with Jen. We can decide this next meeting and think about what's the right way to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea of tying it to this year's performances determines this year's bonus, not last year's performance.
I think the thought was that we would, because we were doing the salary adjustments, that we wouldn't do the whole 60% this year. We would give certain teachers who deserved it this year, and then we would still have the reserves from this year to set up a fund for next year. That was sort of the thought.
And set up a plan.
That was the conversation.
But I think we were going to have Trish look and see how much she thought she needed for this year or would like to give for this year.
Okay.
And then if it's only, I guess you would give the whole 60% if you had it?
Probably. I don't know. I haven't done the math.
That's right. Go out with a bang.
So I'll go out and they'll either love me.
Cut it loose.
Huh?
Either they'll love me or not.
Okay, so what
we're
going to
put her with that caveat
on the final budget.
Okay, make it. Make the motion.
I can't.
Oh, that's
it's already
right.
been made.
Okay.
Has it right. already been made?
Yes, I made it.
Yeah. Okay.
And
that
Chris,
was all discussion?
And Chris seconded.
Okay, so are we ready for a vote?
The final budget is the updated projections through June 2018, the second line that shows a surplus or a contingency of $158,000.
Yep, that is correct.
Do we need a motion? Do we need a second? Or do we need...
I thought we had. You
made
a motion.
Yeah. You
made
the motion.
Made
he
second.
So that was just
we had our discussion.
Right.
Yes.
Let's take a vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay.
This is driving. foundation update?
There's really no update other than we have $556,000 in the bank. We're not spending any of that other than in preparation for events, which are hopefully revenue generators, not expenses. But you have to spend money up front in order to produce the revenue later. We are trying to keep a reserve of that amount or something close to that amount for whatever comes up. We have on the master plan, things we haven't found out, said this before, we have a tennis complex that may or not be something we want to do. We have a baseball diamond and another softball field. Those are two things we may not want to do. A track out beyond the two synthetic turf fields, around, which would be around another field, probably grass field, is probably the issue that I think is the most thing we ought to do next, either that or tennis. I don't see a need for another softball diamond yet, and I certainly don't see a need for a baseball diamond if we can continue to use the courts of the beach. Those are the capital items beyond the ones that we don't know about. So we've got a nice little nest egg to help where we need to help. We're still going to do the scholarships that we did last year. That will be the same where there's an amount, I think there's an amount for every student. Was that the school do that or that us, the foundation?
You did a Visa gift card for every student because they were the first class. This year you're doing two. You've announced that you're doing two, a male and a female scholarship. Isn't that correct?
I think that's right. $1,500 or $1,200, some number like that. We should go back to the minutes to find that out.
I don't think.
And we're paying for $10,000 of the trip, the college trip, mm-hmm. and we'll pay more than that if there's scholarship needs that you identify that mm-hmm. aren't covered. But our game plan on the college trip that Debbie does every year to a different geography is that the school pays, through the foundation, pays for half of the trip, and the parent who wants their kids to go on it pays half. Paying up the whole thing doesn't make sense to us because then everybody wants to go just for the fun of it instead of for the real purpose of it. That's my report.
Okay.
Do you have anyone in mind to be the, have you thought about this? Who's going to be your board liaison?
Besides myself, and if I have to leave the board this June, we need two of them. So no, I haven't given much thought to it.
Okay,
committee reports. We have a lot of written reports this month. Thank you all.
We do need votes on the policies.
Yeah. We do need votes on the policies. Those are under, they're listed on the agenda under executive session, but they should be under policies. Maybe you should announce that.
We have a new director.
Good.
Eric.
He verbally accepted.
He's thrilled. He was very appreciative of the offer and is awaiting the paperwork.
Very good.
Nice. Eric.
Very good.
Again, we want to keep that quiet and speak until we get the paperwork signed. Oh, well.
That's how long this meeting is. We voted on it, offered it, he accepted it. We're still sending
the papers. So, it's on the paper. How quickly later? When does that have to be posted? Within how many days? Within 7 days? Okay, let's just, yeah.
That's great, guys. Really good job.
Okay, that tape recording, well, we have 7 days before it has to be posted to get the paperwork done and make the announcement to the teachers.
Yeah, we do not want word to get out publicly before our teachers and our parents and our students are informed.
Good luck. I'm assuming
you're going to do some kind of
it. It's all
background work. Yeah, good luck. Press the verbiage and whatnot. Now the real work begins, folks.
So the policies under governance, we have three policies today.
There are four.
Four.
Go ahead, Alan.
506A is student code of conduct.
I
611A, food and food services procurement procedures. 611B, code of conduct for food and food services procurement. And 1003A, the wellness policy.
Which one are you focusing on first?
I'm going to do them in numerical order.
Just as an overview, and I'm sorry if I'm interrupting, Alan. It's my understanding that the wellness policy and the food and service and the two food and services were ones that were sort of required by the
mandated.
State. Mandated.
By federal.
And the verbiage was sent down from Dover, basically?
Yes.
Yes. But the code of conduct one is one that we wrote. Mm-hmm.
It's modified.
It's modified.
And this is something that was a goal since the beginning of the year, the code of conduct, right, to update that.
So it's been updated. It's gone through, all the policies have gone through your policy, board person Shanta, and
and whatever modifications were made were made by her, I believe.
Well,
In consultation. Yes.
Are we covering all of them or just one now? Because I just have one question on the conduct.
Okay, go ahead, ask it.
Under suspension and expulsion infractions, what do we mean by the sentence that in the first paragraph that the executive director has the responsibility and prerogative to determine what infractions will be moved forward for possible exposure from the school by the executive board? What does that mean?
What it means, what it means is if you take, if you move to take a child to expulsion, the executive director has the prerogative to make that decision, what's going to move forward. Under under state law, there are certain infractions that may be may be either felonies, they may be out of school conduct, so the executive director makes a decision on what will move forward to the board to ask for an expulsion of a student.
The board has to approve all expulsions.
The director can suspend.
Okay.
Yeah. Only the board can approve an expulsion.
Okay.
And that has to move forward to the board for that kind of action.
You would have a special meeting if it didn't coincide with the board meeting.
You have to have a special meeting, and the student and their parents are entitled to legal representation. And what would happen is that it's a presentation of a case,
mm-hmm,
with the board side. Here's the background information. Here's what happened. Here's why.
Yeah.
And the lawyer and the student, if the student chooses to have an attorney sitting there, and so the board would have to make the decision.
Okay.
If
that's the case, that's not necessarily clear here.
Okay.
So we should probably just make it clear that the executive board is responsible for approving.
Okay.
Approving expulsions.
Okay. What
That's the process. This is just talking about what infractions would warrant expulsion. I think is there another?
It's right here under mm-hmm, the heading suspension and expulsion.
Yeah, so take me to what you want to add.
It's in the first paragraph underneath, uh-huh, that.
Right.
And it is the
fourth sentence, fourth line.
Okay, so what is fine. What do you want? What do you want to
all
add?
I'm saying is it wasn't clear to me when I read that the executive board is responsible to approve all expulsions.
Okay. Do you want to add a sentence there that says...
I would change the sentence around to say, the board is responsible for approving all, I guess, expulsions. It is the responsibility of the executive director to bring the infraction to the board. Right.
So you just add after the first sentence a sentence that says the board is responsible to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That does clarify it.
Yeah. Alan, do we, or Trish, do pupils, new students get this?
Everybody gets this.
And do they have to initial it?
Yes, they're in their agenda. they get it in the little book that they get sent home, and then the parents are supposed to sign. There's a list of things that what they're supposed to do, and yes.
Great.
Parent signs it, student signs it, teacher signs it.
Right.
That's wonderful.
And it's also posted on our website.
Mm-hmm. That's going to help us in the case of an expulsion.
Yeah. Legally, Joe, we have to send it home.
Okay.
All right.
We have to vote on each one separately?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. I move that we accept the student code of conduct.
As amended?
As amended.
I'll second.
Oh, Joe moved. Steve second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
611A, the food and food service procurement procedures is a required policy. The language.
How the minutes this month are going to be.
The language was supplied to us. In order to participate in the federal lunch program, we have to have this policy in place.
I make a motion that we approve board policy 611-A.
A second.
Chris Moody seconds. Any discussion?
My only point is, it seems to me everybody brings their lunch with the exception of maybe 12% of the students or some low percentage.
About 50.
Is that because they want to, or is that because they don't think very highly of the food we provide?
I think both. I think a lot of kids mm-hmm. like packing their lunch. I think the presentation of our lunch is not... as presentational as I like to see, but I don't know that in a lot of school cafeterias they are. I think one of your folks that may be interested in joining you has some thoughts and ideas about that.
So, Joe, I asked Alan mm-hmm. whether we could look at the food again this year, but we're in the middle of a contract. It's not a year to renew our contract, but... There is a person that is looking to join the board who I actually think would be a good liaison mm-hmm. to the foundation board, too, who is interested in working on our food in the cafeteria.
I would like to be known as, because we're so highly regarded in every other area, it would be pretty awesome if we were also known as a school that had like healthy, delicious lunches.
Yeah.
So that is something we've been thinking about and talking about.
Yeah, I mean, everybody should, you know, we're not set up to make food. We're set up only to freeze it, unfreeze it, and serve it.
Correct.
So we need a food service provider that can bring the meals in ahead of time, and then we can unwrap them, put them in the heat and
dish.
So we're not going to have a salad bar.
Oh, yeah.
Stingray.
I'll take nine.
Yeah.
Maybe they would give us a nice deal.
Sushi bar.
Yeah. Okay, so.
All right, so there's a motion on the table to approve 611A.
B.
B, sorry. You have a second as well?
Yes, Chris Moody second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Last policy.
No, two more.
No,
611B is exactly the same as
oh, we just voted on 611B.
Yes.
Did we do 611A?
No.
Oh.
I thought that was one of the
I thought we did 611A too, but what?
The
okay.
motion was for B.
611A.
Can we just amend it to do say A and B? No,
he said they had to be done separately.
Oh.
Make a motion to approve policy 611A.
Motion. I'll make that motion.
Joe makes that motion. I second. Any discussion?
Is it sticking yet?
No.
No discussion.
It's really fuzzy out there.
No discussion.
Yeah, we need to get out of here, people.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Out there.
Any opposed?
No, it's actually. No.
Some of us have to drive far.
Last policy.
Ocean View.
1003A, the wellness policy. You've already approved this. We changed one line on page 5. The one line we changed on page 5 is under celebrations and rewards. It is strongly encouraged that all foods offered meet these guidelines because mm-hmm. we had the word encourage was not included. It's an option we put it in to make life a little bit easier for the teachers and the staff and the students who want to celebrate their birthdays by bringing in cupcakes.
I just love the federal government regulating how I eat.
So that's the only change that was made in that one.
And make the motion to pass 1003A wellness policy.
With the change noted by Alan.
I'll second that.
Wait.
Lance.
Who made that?
Lance.
Okay. Any discussion? With the change noted by Alan. Any discussion? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Motion carries.
I have a whole new level of respect for Andrea, let me tell you.
How about it?
Okay, on the executive succession committee, we have determined that it would be a good idea to give board members a self-evaluation, self-assessment, and we hope to have that ready for each of you at our next meeting. Now, it's not going to be collected or graded, but it's just raises to the consciousness what the responsibilities of a board member are. And to that effect, I would really appreciate it if all of you would read this. Because it really is helpful, and it lets us know what our jobs are. And there have come up several questions about board member responsibilities, and if we'd read the book, we would have known the answer. It's a quick read. Please, please read it. Those of us that work in the for-profit world, some of the things in here are not the way you would think they would work. We talked about recruiting new board members. If everyone would, we have a few people in the works, but they're mostly people Jen and I have asked. If you all know people that give, bring skills to the board that would be helpful, please, please ask them.
How many do we need?
We don't really know. We want a pool to pick from. Mm-hmm. And if we don't pick them this year, we can pick them next year. One in our pool this year.
You can get them started on some of your committees.
Yes, and we can put board people who aren't on the board on committees.
And also people need to put some real thought into who would like to take a position of leadership on the board. I am proposed as the president for next year, but I need a vice president who would then move on. So put some thought into that.
And what are the rules, Susie, with regard to who can continue to serve on the board and who has to get off the board?
The rule is that board members have a 3-year term. After the end of the 3-year term, you're eligible to apply for renewals of 1 year at a time up to a maximum of another 3 years. So every year, so after your 3 years, you have to be approved to stay on the board each year for another 3.
And then if you still want to be involved, you have to step off for a year and then you can come back.
We're looking at that, but we think so, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you could, yeah. We've had people do that. In other words, they've been 6 years, they were off for a year, off for 2 years, and came back.
Is there any way
to
allow someone to stay on?
You have to change the policy.
We couldn't make you couldn't do a board vote to an exception to a policy?
Read the book.
No, I don't think so. Now. I've read the books.
What the Film Society does is they make them ex officio members. So they participate in conversation and discussions, but they don't vote.
Or could they be a committee
ex officio?
Yeah, they could be a committee member.
Yeah. They could be a committee member.
They could be an ex officio member and a committee member.
They could be a committee member.
They just can't vote.
Yeah. They just couldn't vote.
They could even be a Sussex Academy Foundation board member who came to every one of our meetings and participated at conversational level.
I don't know if that would qualify as a liaison or not. We can look.
What we're concerned about is I go off this June 30th. She goes off next June 30th. You guys are going to be bored stiff in this room.
They're going to have a big party for us.
The meeting will be 15 minutes to be all over.
No, but it is important to put some thought into next year when I leave because
usually the board president stays for another year. Yeah.
But she's
maxed out.
According to the policy, I'm unable to do that. And I'm not saying I'm like the be all and end all. What I'm saying is for a transitional slash transfer of information experience standpoint.
Continuity.
Continuity. It's very helpful to have someone there.
Like you've helped Susie all year. That's a good relationship. I agree.
One of the things that, again, as it may or may not apply, in the state of Delaware, there are terms for board members. The state has gone from, I'm talking about local school board members. I'm just giving you background in terms of their tenure and their stay. In the state of Delaware, they've gone from 5-year limits to 3-year limits, not limits, to 2-year limits, to 4-year limits. So there's legislation in now to make it 4, not limit, but they're
term.
Mm-hmm. They're term. Okay, so I'm just telling you what's out there in the other world. But in terms of that term, there are no limits on how many times a person can stay there.
Right.
No years limits, right. So which may or may not be a good thing.
Susie and I will take a look at it. We'll talk about it. We'll figure out maybe we propose something at the next meeting. Who knows? We need to move on.
We'll regroup.
Yeah.
So part of me asking everyone to read the book is that we are really thinking about what we need to do to be ready for a new director. The director is going to need support. They're going to need a board who takes incentive to self-educate. The other two things that I was looking at in our goals that we were hoping to have done by the end of this year is a 10-year maintenance plan on the building, and I don't know where the Buildings and Grounds Committee is on that, and a 3-year financial forecast, a 3-year rolling financial forecast. So, I don't know what you all need from us to get those done.
One of the things that I put in the last month's report was a recommendation that we go ahead with a engineered analysis from a local engineering company to do a maintenance reserve study for our building. I don't have the expertise to go through and document every piece of equipment and where it is in its stage and then forecast it out.
But you know who to go to.
Yes, and we already have a quote to do that. And
how much?
I think it was like $12,000.
Yeah.
Put him on the board instead.
Yeah.
We need services.
Is it someone who does HOA work?
Excuse me?
Is it someone who does HOA work?
No, it's specific to mechanical equipment. It's one thing that it's going to go through and document everything that we have in the facility and then determine where it is in its life,
yeah,
and then project when it's going to need to be replaced and then put together a cost to do that and then projections outward. So we need to, and then they'll serialize everything so we know where everything is and what it is. I'm recommending that we need to get that study done so that I can then take that information and disseminate it and then provide the information. I just don't have
the money for it.
Yeah.
So the money for it?
Without that information, we're not going to be able to then
know where we're going. The foundation will pay the money to do the study.
Thank you. Done.
Nice.
Moving on.
That was easy, wasn't it?
Yeah. So easy.
We should have started off with that.
You guys are going to miss me.
Oh, yeah.
That emeritus thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Three-year financial forecast. What do we need for that?
I think we talked about actually in this meeting getting a recommendation from a headcount perspective. Right?
Of what we were going to need in terms of additional staff.
Yeah. That being our largest single expense is key.
We can sit down and talk about it.
Okay.
So you two will make a meeting?
Alan will have to, I've got my own thoughts.
Yeah.
And we're not, the other element of it is that we're not at max capacity.
Right.
Okay. But close to it.
Close, yeah.
Because it may shift the balance of employees, is what I'm saying.
Right.
But we know pretty closely.
Yeah,
right?
We're pretty close.
Okay, listen, I'm going to say that we need to hurry up. Snow is sticking.
Right.
I think we've already discussed enrollment. So we need to just vote on the calendar, right?
Correct.
We need to do old business. And then we don't really have any new business since we already discussed enrollment.
Well, scholarships was mentioned.
Right.
I put it on there for the very reason that you said. Mm-hmm. And I can update you afterwards is where we are. You have two calendars. One I've highlighted, but I don't know what happened to the bottom of December and June. They got cut off in my printer.
It's okay. You can
no school then?
Yeah.
It's the same for both, so.
These were presented last month for your consideration. The one that's highlighted in green is the one the staff has identified as their preference.
Why is it?
Because
they
then
prefer,
there's...
I know what they prefer, but why?
Not the other, every other day.
Because you have 2 days. You were going to be out Tuesday and Thursday.
Right.
Because of return day and voting. So instead of breaking up coming in Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, they would rather have that entire week off instead of...
We did that before, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we did that two years ago.
It was 2016.
It's just a break in.
Didn't you say that it was great for the IB kids because that's when they were able to.
Seniors in colleges.
Yeah. Seniors, scholarships, applying for college.
But it's a break. It's a big break in instruction. You come in, you go out, you come in, you go out. And keeping the kids on a.
Yeah, it's a good vacation.
On a routine.
So we just need to make a motion on which one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you ought to consider. That we got 800 kids in the school, or almost 800 kids in school, how do they feel, and the parents of those kids feel? Well, I think what the staff wants is important, but there's a whole bunch of people who go to grandfather's mother's house or grandfather's house on Thanksgiving that I think we're just getting one input, which is staff input. And I think that could, I don't know, if we've done it in the past and there's no feedback, that's good, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah.
But I feel like the college application thing for us is huge.
It's huge, yeah.
Yes.
Listen, this is a preference, so let's take a vote.
Okay.
Are we just going to make a motion of one of them? Are we going to go?
Yeah, make a motion of the one that you want.
Why does this one have one more teacher day?
Does it have less?
Well, they should both have 188. We actually have to find more days because it should have 188. That's what the contracts amount are.
Okay.
Either.
But right now, currently, that's where it is.
It's either a full week at Thanksgiving or a full week every time we stay on less of a week.
So it just takes the 2 days and flips them from either the Thanksgiving week.
Oh,
how's
the filling those gaps? There's still 1 to 3 for Lord.
Huh?
Or you thought it was, you thought they were the same, but only
yeah, that's what I thought, and I handed it back.
Okay.
Even I am that one.
All right, so
there you go.
Yeah. Instead of this one, this is your fault. Isn't this the first year that you did that anyway? The one the first, the whole week?
Last year we did the week of Thanksgiving off,
and the prior year we did the week of this year.
2017 it was the week of Thanksgiving. 2016 it was election week.
I like that election week where it was a fall break.
Yeah. I think that is why I have an idea. Let's take
it was good for return day.
Parents told me.
And then we'll do an official vote. Okay, who raise your hand if you are in favor of having the full week of Thanksgiving off? There are 3 hands raised. Raise your hand if you are in favor of having returns week off. There are many more hands. All right, I make a motion that we approve the calendar that represents a week off from November 6th through 9th. Do I have a second?
A second.
Chris seconds. Any discussion?
That's not right, what you just
except
said.
Fifth through
yes,
the
well,
ninth,
it's, she's talking school days.
Oh, okay.
Monday the 6th
yeah.
through Friday the 9th. She's not talking about the
okay,
weekend.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Any discussion?
Monday the 5th.
Monday the 5th through Friday the 9th.
Yes.
Sorry.
Right, sure
got that?
Because there's no Saturdays, or there's no Sundays on that.
Monday the, what is it?
Monday, November 5th
through, the 9th.
Through Friday. November 9th.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, there were 3 opposed.
Opposed?
I'm not going to vote.
I'm not going to vote?
No. It's fine.
Two opposed.
No.
Whatever you
so
guys decide.
Who knows?
Right. So.
It's important to have opposition.
Okay, I
have to. You have to.
Give me a chance to talk some more.
I don't care enough.
Anna, are you going to oppose?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Anna's opposed.
All right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
2 opposed. And how many in favor?
You better
everyone
count
else.
Yeah, count everyone else.
11.
And by the way, I applaud everybody who said, we're coming to this meeting, it's important.
Thank you.
It's really easy to skip this meeting with the weather and your kids home today from school.
That's why we're here, Joe. Because our kids are home.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that one.
We need to adjourn.
That's why I'm here.
You all are packing up, but we're still in, the meeting's still
around. Oh. Make a motion that we adjourn the meeting at 6:19.
Second.
Steve seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
What time?
Oh, 6:19.